Off the Ball, GAA.
What a game of football. What a game of football for the neutral, I suppose, watching it at home on TV. What a day for our supporters of Westmeath and the people of Westmeath.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Up next, we're going to speak to the AFL former Collingwood president Eddie Maguire about a possible Irish team in the AFLW.
So as a result of the idea that an Irish team can play an Australian game of football, last week I met with the new Consul General of Ireland in Victoria for the first time, Marie-Claire Hughes, and the Irish Ambassador in Canberra, Fiona Flood. And we're discussing this. It has now been discussed at AFL level, and there is a genuine desire to put a 20th team into the AFLW competition when Tasmania comes in of Irish team.
Wow.
So we would have an Irish team. We're not playing in Ireland. It's not going to be a long trip. They'll be based here probably in Melbourne, but an Irish team, or maybe in Sydney, but probably here in Melbourne. We are now, we the collective football world, are looking at integrating an Irish team into the AFLW. Now, at the moment, we have 39 active players. And at the draft last week, we had a player go at pick three, another one at pick seven. And this is with ones who are just coming over. So imagine if you actively put it together and did it in conjunction with the GAA.
Yeah, that's Eddie Maguire. They're making the case for AFLW Irish women's team. Delighted to say Eddie is with us now. Eddie, how are you?
Good on you, Mick. Great to be with you. G'day, boys.
Good. Good to see you. Listen, Eddie, I have to say before we start, as someone that spent a year in Melbourne 20 years ago, you were like the face of TV. I was watching you on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, the footy show, everything like that. So it was funny when I saw the kind of name when this story kind of came up a couple of weeks ago. I was sort of putting two and two together. I was like, I know that name from somewhere. And then I saw the video. I was like, oh, Eddie. He's the Channel 9 man.
that's it. And there might be some people who might remember when I came over and called the international game between Australia and Ireland as well when the dog got on the ground. Remember that?
That's it, yeah. We actually used that in a quiz round we had on very recently. You were doing the commentary along with Marty, I think, was it?
Yeah. It was, yes, indeed. Now, we had a lot of fun there, and we had a lot of fun around Dublin as well. Hello to Big John, if he's still there, the man who used to work out the front of Lily's Bordello. He looked after the boys very well. And I just want to make sure, that was a nightclub, okay? That was the name of it. I think UT used to own it. But it was we had a couple of big nights there. It was great.
Yeah, some younger listeners might not remember Lily's, but... Yeah, like the international rules was an interesting time, like, because there was a lovely kind of sweet spot there where it was really big crowds and it was a real occasion, and we had that kind of like two referee situation, two commentator situation, and it seemed like a real developing game. And I wonder, did it just run its course maybe?
Well, I think COVID got in the way of a lot of things as well. Certainly the interest was here. And because I hold an Irish passport as well as an Australian passport, I actually went to the AFL and said, you know, this the punching up that was going on, the violence and everything, we've got to get rid of this because these are two codes and two groups of people who are, you know, closely related. So we needed to get it sorted out. And I thought the Irish boys and the Australian boys, the last couple of times we played, you know, they sat at the dinners together, they got to know each other, they realised they're all, you know, there's some professional respect, and we really made it happen. And don't forget in Perth, it was sold out in Perth the last time the game was played in Australia. And I remember at the MCG, huge crowds. And of course, coming over to Croke Park, it was just absolutely magnificent. So I think there's still an interest in it. We just need to get it sorted out. But, you know, the girls, though, coming over to Australia have taken the world by storm over here.
Yeah, and I suppose that's what we're here to talk about, this idea, I suppose, that you've had of putting in an Irish team for the AFLW. What's the kind of the basis behind that? I know we're looking at a rapidly expanding AFLW. There are going to be 19 teams when this Tasmanian team are added, which means you obviously need to even up that number somewhat. Is this something that has gathered legs in Australia as well? Because obviously, since you first mentioned it, it's kind of constantly been talked about here.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting one. I've actually got the Consul General coming to the football with me on Monday. It's a long weekend holiday in Melbourne, and the annual Collingwood versus Melbourne game is on, so it's going to be a huge day. And so I'm looking forward to talking to her, but also speaking with the ambassador up in Canberra. But yes, it is. In fact, it was brought up with me by senior AFL officials. And a little bit later tonight, in about half an hour's time, actually, I'll be meeting, going to a dinner with a lot of the officials. And it's making sense. People are looking at it. And now that it has formally been announced that Australia will play Ireland in the first Australian rules game of football coming up, and the absolute excitement amongst the Irish girls and women who are playing here to represent Ireland and beat the Aussies at their own game, is the way it was put to me by Sarah Rowe and a few others as well. They're very, very pumped up about it. And when you look at it, it sort of makes sense. But I think before we get too far down the track, what we need to do now, and I'm actually actively speaking to people to say, how do we put together a working party and come to the GAA? Now, I'm absolutely strong on this, that this needs to be something that we could work out between the GAA and the AFL, if it works indeed, so that it doesn't look like it's a raiding party coming over and getting all the good young women to come and live in Australia and play in Australia and totally torch the GAA's own game. But if we could do something that worked really well and we could get working visas for the girls to come out here and make some money and play professional sport and also keep them in touch with the GAA rather than they go and play rugby or go and play soccer or something else like that, I think it's something that could really work. And look, the two codes are so close. We've got so many great young players now coming for the men's code. There's been a long tradition going back before Jim Steins, but the great Jim Steins is our talisman. But going right back to Paul Early and the likes coming over to Australia, and so many women. I think we said 39 in the clip that you played. I think it's actually now 43 players. So, yeah, that's more than a list to play AFL football. And I just think if we were able to keep the identity of Ireland involved in this, and if the two codes could come together and have an international game that actually meant something, I just think it's got something certainly worth a discussion, I would have thought.
Yeah. I did sort of mention this as an idea when this first came around, that potentially it could be a case where the AFLW team is almost used as a springboard for GA players to go over and live in a professional environment, play in a professional environment, train at the top level, and then maybe come back to the GAA and almost develop the LGFA and the women's game in Ireland. Because currently, I mean, the facilities, I was in Melbourne last year, the facilities that the women out there playing with AFLW are vastly superior to what the women get here in Ireland with the GAA. Sometimes the women's teams are played on the third pitch, or they might need to wait until 9 o'clock in the evening to get access to the pitch to train. Is there an idea behind that, Eddie, that maybe that the AFL could be a way for development and getting players to get to almost an elite level and then maybe going back to the GAA? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, absolutely. Right on the money. That's exactly the way I'm thinking about it. How do we do it so that both codes have you know, a wonderful opportunity? More to the point, the athletes get their chance. As you say, in the Australian rules, the AFLW women are treated exactly the same as the men. The salary cap will rise, so there's good money in the game itself, but also the facilities are there, the medical facilities, and the opportunity to come out here. And whether it's a gap year or whether it's coming out to Australia, whether it's immigrating altogether, as my parents did back in the day. But I'd like to see a little bit go the other way as well. I think that there's some real opportunities for the Australians to start going back. Now, we'd need to work on how we do that to stay with the amateur ethos of the GAA. But my son plays American football at the Ohio State. So, you know, he's over there doing that. So he's gone the other way. He's sort of gone from Australia to America to play, and he gets the scholarship. The amount of people who would love to go, and, you know, don't forget, there's so many Irish here, or like myself, first-generation Irish, who would love to have been able to go over and play football in Ireland, to play Gaelic football, whether it's men and women these days, and maybe study at Trinity or go to Galway or go to one of the universities or do something, have a gap year there. And if we could actually work that through, they don't have to be AFL-level players. I mean, the next level down are very, very good players. And even the top amateur players over here are very good players. And, you know, there's a real feel for the Irish. It's Ireland's having its moment again in Australia. And, you know, I'm delighted by it. As a kid, I actually played Gaelic football. You know, I'm very proud that I got picked to play for Victoria in an interstate carnival that was played when I was just a young kid. I think I would have been about 12 or 13 years of age. And I love playing Gaelic football, played for Pearces, and it was wonderful. And, you know, I just think that the opportunities to grow both sports, to grow the connectivity, the wonderful connectivity between Australia and Ireland, and even the business opportunities that are there as something we shouldn't just leave behind. We've had a couple of false starts just over the years, and I think people have never really lent into it properly. But in the end, it may well be the absolute wonderful athletic women who are coming and playing Australian rules football who have brought the AFLW to a whole new level and are such an amazing part of it that if we could get this right, it would be great. So if we had, you know, as you said, feeder competitions coming in, the best players coming over to Australia, even the other, some of the players coming over and training and doing their pre-season. If we're able to work out the GAA fixture that it doesn't overlap with the AFL and vice versa, yeah, there's so many things we could do. I just think it's an amazing opportunity.
Can I ask about the impact that the Irish girls have had? Obviously, the fact that there's so many of them and, you know, we see the highlights when it's like, you know, in a grand final or whatever. But obviously, there's been a lot of successes in the men's game of people going over, you know, even more recently than you say, as Jim Steins, be it or Ty Kennelly or whatever. But obviously, there's been like a good flood. There's in the last maybe 5-10 years, there's always been a kind of a cohort of 4 or 5 over there playing, which is a level above what it was. But it hasn't been the same impact as what the women have had, where there's like, every team has a number of Irish players. We kind of see that as a numbers thing and think it's been really successful. How impactful and successful have those players been within their AFLW teams?
Oh, it's just massive. I mean, as you said, we've got great players. I mean, Oisin Mullins playing at Geelong is, you know, one of the greatest GAA players who's coming over and is just starting to really have an impact. People are starting to see the job that he's doing. Connor Nash at Hawthorn, you know, so many other players. And, you know, Tui at Geelong in recent times has been an absolute superstar. He's just wonderful. And he's very much into this conversation as well. So there's just been so many, but the women have come over and it is their absolute, as I said, athleticism that is making a difference. Now, clearly in the men's competition, you know, you've got to be a top athlete and you come over and you have to learn, a different skill with the oval ball compared to the round ball in Gaelic football. I still think that there would be so many more of the Gaelic men coming over would make the grade, no doubt about it. And now with Tasmania coming in and the spreading of the available talent in the AFL, once again, it is going to be a real opportunity. And I can tell you, the salary cap in the men's, the good guys now getting paid, you know, well in excess of $1 million a year. So there's tremendous opportunities. But back to your question about the women, have they made an impact? Have they ever? And are they making an even bigger impact? You better believe it. And the AFL are looking more and more, and the clubs are looking more and more for international talent. And the best source of that international talent is Ireland. So the women come over, they're loved. They're loved by their teammates. They make a huge impact. You know, one of the things that I want to push if we decide that this is something we want to do is to get proper visas so the women can come over and work as well as play football so they can get through, you know, make some decent money, have a really good time over here, become as professional as they possibly can. And then if the opportunity is right, go back home to Ireland and play and lift the level of the GAA women's competition, as you said. It's a really good idea. It's one that I've been talking about. But I just think, you know, if for all the girls to come together in one place, and to be able to put the resources behind them, to get the sponsors behind them, to make it a truly international competition, there's so much more than just having the piecemeal sort of situation we have at the moment where they all play for the various teams.
Yeah.
You know, I'll probably get killed at my old club, Collingwood, for saying this, but I just think it would just be a matter of pride. And as you said, you see the highlights if there's a grand final. Well, if there's an Irish team, you're going to get highlights every week.
Yeah.
And there's going to be stories about what's going on. And we'll make household names out of these girls, both here in Australia and back home in Ireland.
From the growth point over there, though, as opposed to over here, like you've got like all these clubs are affiliated with the AFL men's clubs who have like such long and deep history. I know you've been involved with Collingwood, but all the Melbourne clubs in particular, and that is like the history around the other teams around the country is getting longer and richer now as well as we move on. These players are playing with those teams. As you say, they're making a huge impact. So does that not nearly trump throwing them all in together with a team that has to create a new fan base, and it's like just this kind of like Irish thing as opposed to about being about Collingwood or being about Geelong or whatever, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, you leave it as it is. It's fantastic. I mean, the last thing I'm going to do is vandalise Collingwood, I can promise you. But I think for the greater good, I think it's a better play. And I've spoken to a number of the girls, and they love it. They're ringing me asking, is it true? Can you get behind it? Can you make it happen? And I just think it's just something sensational. I mean, you know, I floated the name Narn, which is the indigenous name for Melbourne, because you don't want to be called Melbourne because there is a Melbourne, obviously, Melbourne Football Club. But if you call it Narn and, Narn Celtic, I mean, I'm a mad Glasgow Celtic supporter, like I'm sure all you guys are as well. So you imagine if you had all the Irish and all the expats coming over here, it would be just something special. The other thing I floated to a few of the girls as well is whether you'd play maybe three or four games, home games in Sydney, three or four in Melbourne, three or four in Perth, where the diaspora is really strong in those
maybe
three
in
cities.
Dublin.
And Dublin would be unbelievable. Can you imagine having that? Imagine starting the season with, I'll call it Melbourne Irish for a second, you know, but the Melbourne Celtic playing Collingwood at Croke Park as the season opener. How big would that be? It would be unbelievable. They wouldn't be playing on the third pitch for too much longer, I can tell you, if we build Croke Park. It'd be unbelievable what we could do there. And I think it's the fill-up for Gully football. It is such a wonderful game, and it means so much. Not only, I mean, I'm going to tell you your own story, but, you know, clearly the story and the cultural significance of Gaelic football, but to be able to bring the women in and to, as you say, not be the third-rate citizens, but to be absolutely, you know, the peas in all of this, it'd be just fantastic.
Yeah, it's such an interesting conversation, and Melbourne, I think, lends itself quite well to this conversation. You'll know better than I do, but having spent some time in amateur sports, like a lot of the, because it's such a multicultural city, a lot of the diaspora set up their own team. So you might have an Irish team, you might have a Jewish team, you might have a Greek team, and all these clubs sort of gather together in communities. Mm. And it's very much a community-based thing. So it would be similar with that. I don't think there'd be any issue with getting Irish fans to these games to go support an Irish AFLW team. Just from a final perspective, Eddie, from a practicality standpoint with the AFLW, how would this work with contracts and Irish players? Like, would Irish players have to play for this team, or would they be able to play for other teams, or what would be the thing?
We've probably galloped down the road a bit further than anyone's thought about at the moment. But no, I still think you could play for another team. I don't think there's any worries about that. As I said, there's 43 players from Ireland in the competition now. So, yeah, I mean, Sarah Rowe probably, I'd love to see her stay at Collingwood. Mind you, I've spoken to Sarah, and I think she'd quickly get across to the Irish team. But it's up to the girls themselves to be able to come over and do as they like. But, it's funny, just to go back on the last question you put to me, you know, in the last 24 hours here in Melbourne, the two big bash teams in the 2020 cricket have just been merged because they're going to sell one of the franchises to an IPL team out of India. So there'll be an Indian team playing cricket in Melbourne against an Australian team, if you like. So this cultural exchange is starting to really take off. And we might have been the first to put it on the table with this discussion, but already the Indians are starting to do the same thing in the cricket. So, you know, this is going to be something. This is not going to be a pie-in-the-sky thought process. As I said, I'm going tonight. I'll pull a few people aside at the top level of the AFL Commission, have a chat with them. I can tell you that as late as yesterday, one of the most senior people in the AFL rang me and said, you know, this has got a bit of legs. What do you think? And we had a good discussion largely around the topics that we're talking about now. So before we go any further, I would not be so presumptuous to not make a phone call to the GAA to make sure that they are part of this and think that this has got some, as I said, got some legs. And if that was something that everyone wanted to do, then it would be a great thing.
Yeah. Just before we finish, Eddie, right, I'm just wondering about the like the growth of women's sport in general. I suppose is just an ongoing in the world of sport is such a big story. The AFLW yeah. seems like this a pretty big success story in that. And I read a stat somewhere saying that like 45% of junior football players at the moment are girls, which is an incredible stat and something that obviously should be applauded and will absolutely help the growth of the game further. How is it doing at the moment, though? Because some of the criticism I read when looking into this today was that the league is being overexpanded versus the stage that it's at the moment. That if you're going to 20 teams already, when there might be like a really good 10-team league there with really high quality, is there a sense that it's pushing itself to kind of become a thing before it's actually a thing?
Yeah, that's a fair point, and that's conversations that happen. Certainly, it started with, I think from memory, it might have been 9 or 10 teams when the first incarnation occurred, and it was great and it built up. And then the AFL quickly wanted to expand to every team because a lot of teams didn't want to be in it in the first instance. It was interesting. And then they saw the success and not only that, but they also had their sponsors and government money saying, hang on, unless you've got, you know, female participants, no money for you. So suddenly they got very excited about getting into the competition. So, yes, it probably has expanded quickly. But the point you were saying before about the 45% of participants at junior level means that there is now a real groundswell of support coming through in the numbers. And also kids now who have started at 5 years of age playing the game are now 15 years of age and getting up to senior level. So we're starting to see those numbers and the skill level bulk up. So the Irish girls have played an amazing role in coming over and filling the gaps in a lot of ways. That's why so many of them are playing, but they're playing really good football. So, yeah, look, we probably want to go to 20 to keep the competition even. If you're starting again, you might have stayed at 12 for a little while longer. Mm. But I think everyone's got the pedal to the metal, as they say here, and they want to get to 20 teams to match Tasmania. Ireland, as I said, is getting a lot of attraction from the idea. And I floated that idea. Once I took it to the AFL, I went, geez, that actually makes a bit of sense. And I was actually gratified to hear yesterday when the phone call about other matters happened that one of the most senior people in the AFL started asking questions about this is a good idea and it's got legs.
Great stuff. Eddie McGuire, thanks a million. I'm sure this won't be the last time we talk about this. And look, I hope maybe we have a rebirth of the international rules and get you on talking about it. Pádraic Joyce, I remember, you were a very, very big fan of Pádraic Joyce on commentary.
He was. Pádraic was a great man. How is Pádraic? I haven't spoken to him for a while.
He's the Galway manager at the moment. So they got to an All-Ireland final a couple of years ago and they're going well again this year. So we'll see how they get on over the next month or two.
Pádraic was just a joy to call with, a wonderful man, a great professional. And we had a lot of great times here, a lot of crack, as you say, in Ireland. And no, we had a lot of fun. But look, you guys have got to come over because the Irish have come back. It's like the 50s again here. Everywhere you go, every time somebody knocks on the door, every tradesman's got an Irish accent these days. And there's a lot of good times. The Irish pubs are everywhere. And we're having a lot of fun, as I said. And if they're not Irish, they're the Scottish Irish barracking for the Celtics. So what an amazing win that was for the boys in recent times. So there's a lot of crossover in the sports. And, the Irish are still loved in Australia, no doubt about it.
Lovely stuff. Eddie McGuire, thank you so much for joining us.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50-milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150-milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
GAA. What a game of football. What a game of football for the neutral, I suppose, watching it at home on TV. What a day for our supporters of Westmeath and the people of Westmeath.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.